I think a lot was spoken about the speaker. I really don't know whether I deserve that, but I am very, very grateful to be getting this opportunity to share for the next 5 days some thoughts, I am sure, which will be very helpful to all of you in your journey to the perfection of life. Basically, the title of this whole series is called The Journey of Self-Discovery, which is truly the essence of all the scriptures, which talk about understanding oneself, understanding the world around us, and understanding our roots, so that our life may become more meaningful, more purposeful, and more fulfilling ultimately. So this is actually extracting the essence of the conclusion of the Vedic literatures, the Bhagavad Gita. So I have several people in the past commenting at the end of this course that some of them felt that they knew something about the scriptures, but they didn't have really an idea of what was what, and they felt it was a wonderful grounding now that they have got to build upon in future. Some who had some understanding about nature of soul, nature of God, nature of the world, yoga, karma, etc., expressed that this course was like a jigsaw puzzle, part of which they had, but now they see the whole picture. And the others who knew much about a deeper understanding of scriptures, they have expressed that it was a very powerful tool to actually not only be convinced, but to express to others what our own personal beliefs are and why are we doing what we are doing. So therefore, it doesn't matter whatever your exposure has been to the scriptures so far, but there will be something for all of you. That's what I would like to assure. At the end of the 5 days, I'm sure you'll be something that will be, that you can carry back, that will be really worthwhile. So the journey will consist of certain topics during these 5 days, six sessions. The first will be the search for happiness, which is why we are all here for, and trying to understand our roots. Does really God exist? Does He have relevance in the world for us? What exactly is the need to understand? How does it make a difference at all in our lives? Especially in India, this question, you know, why so many gods? Is there one God? There are many gods. This is a question that people ask many a times. And there seems to be a lot of confusion, because of which our own convictions are shaken many a times as to why we are doing what we are doing. Who am I? The complete science of the self, the nature of the self, the lack of understanding of which may sometimes lead to wondering who we are, where have I come from, etc. And this is the million-dollar question. All that is okay, but what about this? Why do bad things happen to good people, or vice versa? the science of yoga. What does really yoga mean and what is its purpose? And most important of all, the concluding talk will be its relevance in our day-to-day life, in this world that we are living. Because ultimately, unless there is some practical application, it doesn't make any sense. Ultimately, all these are meant to improve the quality of our life, the quality of our happiness. So this will be the topics that we shall be covering during this 6-day journey. So, first of all, I would like to congratulate all of you for at least deciding to take out 6 precious days of your life. 6 precious evenings. It's not actually easy. Many people suggest me, I think you should make it 3 days, crash course. Because today people want crash course, you know. There used to be 5-day matches, cricket matches, and then 1-day international. Now it is 2020. People want it quick. Give us the essence as quickly as possible. So many used to discourage me to do this 6-session course running over 6 days, almost like a week. But then the first time I heard it 25 years ago, I was really impressed, and it gave me a solid conviction in my own personal life and gave me tremendous determination to move ahead with my decisions. So therefore I thought, somehow I feel that a little more detailed discussion on these topics are really important. Now, first and foremost, all the genuine scriptures of the world emphasize the value of the human form of life. It is a very unique of all the living entities. This particular form of life, the Homo sapiens, as they call it, the human beings, has a very unique role to play. Can make a big difference on this planet. And therefore, first and foremost, it said, what really is the importance of human life? And how is it different from the lower species? The human beings are supposed to be the most evolved, at least on this planet. So how is it different from those of the other lower living entities? It is described, there is a beautiful shloka in Sanskrit which talks about what are the common factors. It says there are 4 things that are common between us and the other living entities. Ahara, nidra, bhaya, maithunam cha, samanyametat pashubhir naranam, dharmo hi tesham adhiko visheshu, dharmena hinah pashubhi saman. He said there are 4 things that are common between us and any other living entity, any other species of life. What is that? Ahara. Ahara means we have to subsist on some food. So eating. And nidra. Nidra means to replenish our energy. Every living entity needs to sleep, including the trees. They also sleep at night. As proved by Jagdish Chandra Bose way back in the late early 40s, I think. So that is another part of life. And then maithunamcha, procreation. And finally, defending. Defending against the elements of nature, defending against another species or different inimical forces. So ahara, nidra, bhaya, which is defending, and maithunamcha. If you put it in a biological term, it means self-preservation and race preservation. These are the natural biological instincts of every living entity. It's amazing how certain, there are some plants, you touch them and they, you know, they call it touch me not. They recoil. So there is a system of defense provided in every living entity by nature for replenishment, for nourishment, and for procreation. So these things are normal. Every living entity finds it. Then what's the difference? It is said, dharmo hi tesham adhiko visheshu dharmena hi naha pashubhi samana. There's only one thing that discriminates the human species from the other living entities. And what is that? The higher intelligence. And this intelligence, which can give us the discrimination power, asato ma sadgamaya, tamaso ma jyotirgamaya, mrityor ma amrita. What's valuable, what is not, what's useful, what's beneficial and what's not, what's eternal, what's temporary. So this discrimination power, this we have been gifted with. So there is a beautiful incident that is explained in this regard. One time, Alexander the Great, the Greek conqueror, when he was in India, it is described, he had laid his camp somewhere in the north on the bank of a huge river with all his army and paraphernalia. And in the middle of the night, a thief happened to enter the tent and steal something. As he was going away, he was caught red-handed and he was produced before Alexander. And he asked him, he said, he must be, chop his head off and kill him immediately. And to the surprise of Alexander, he replied, he said, why? He said, what do you mean, why? You dare ask why? First of all, you are caught red-handed stealing, and now you dare ask me why I am punishing you? He said, yes, I am asking you because I don't see much difference between me and you. So what do you mean? He said, I am a small-time thief. I enter private properties in the middle of the night and I carry away whatever I can in my hands. And you, my dear sir, you are you enter private countries and you have your chariots and, horses, and you carry away a big amount in the middle of the day. So you do it on a bigger scale. So therefore you are Alexander the Great, because you're doing it on a greater scale. The point is, the animals eat, sleep, mate and defend. This is what they do basically. Their whole lifestyle is centered around this. Sometimes they show this National Geographic, beautiful serials. And it's amazing how some people spend their whole life trying to photograph this lifestyle of or life cycle of these animals in the forests. And basically they show these four things. How these animals make arrangement for eating, for sleeping, how for procreating, and for defending themselves against other species or against the elements of nature. This is common. And that's what we do. But if life simply boils down only to these, then we are animal the great, because we are doing it in a more, maybe greater way, or probably a sophisticated way, but the propensity remains the same. So the point that is being made is, these are common, but the real intelligence is to think a little more, a little higher. And what is that? Inquiry into the cause of suffering and the destination of life. Nobody wants unhappiness. Nobody wants misery in life. The whole endeavor is to avoid it and make life more comfortable and happy, which is natural instinct of every living entity. And we have a higher intelligence as human beings. If that is not utilized, then we are simply sophisticated animals, that's all. Sorry if it sounds a little bitter, you know, it sounds too straightforward, but that's what the scriptures claim. It is called Dvipada Pashu. Dvipada Pashu means just a sophisticated animals. So that means human life is meant for something else. In the Bhagavad Gita, Arjun uses for himself a word, very interesting word. He says, Karpanya dosho pahata svabhavah prichhamitvam dharma sammodha cheta. Kripana, he uses the word Kripana. Kripana means miserly person. Opposite of Kripana is Brahmana, a broad-minded person. Brahmana doesn't mean a 50 paisa thread around your body alone. Really, Brahmana means Brihad, one who knows the world as it is. And Kripana means one who is very narrow down to very, you know, thinking exclusively about himself alone. That's very miserliness. So, who is a miser? In Hindi they call kanjus. Right? When do you call a person a miserly person? If a person has access to tremendous amount of wealth, but he lives and eats and drinks like a person who has no access to that, like a beggar on the street, then we would call that person a very miserly person, because he has access to that wealth and he is not utilizing it. Similarly, the human life has been gifted with a tremendous wealth of intelligence. All the progress that we have made as human beings is because of this intelligence. It's tremendous wealth. However, if this, I think sound is, you reduce the sound, yeah. So, if the human intelligence is not utilized, and merely we use that to do the activity, what the animals also can do it, who have no access to this particular wealth, then the scriptures call us very miserly, kripana. And one who recognizes that, wants to utilize the natural gift of intelligence, of discrimination, to achieve a higher level of existence, a higher quality of happiness than mere that is available even to the other species. And therefore, that word used, kripana. Now, what should be the utilization of intelligence? Ultimately, for two things. Atyantika dukha nivritti and atyantika sukha pravritti. Real intelligence means to permanently remove all source of misery from this existence of ours, our own life and the lives of others, and to make life as happy as possible, as long as possible, as much as possible. Makes sense, isn't it? Makes logical. If you see, all our scientific technological advancement is geared towards this. How to make life more comfortable, happy, and how to remove all the inconveniences and miseries and sufferings, whether it is in the medical field, whether it's in the communication field, transportation, whatever you, it's all towards reducing the sufferings and increasing the comfort and happiness. Right? So similarly, real intelligence, especially in the human form of life, should be utilized for these two things. Number one, the cause of suffering. I do not want some things in life. Why is it being imposed upon me? How I can actually get rid of this? I want some things, happiness, bliss, peace of mind. Why is it eluding me? Anyone who asks this question is supposed to have taken full advantage of the gift of nature given to this particular species. So therefore, these two questions. I want to know go to the root of the cause of suffering and remove it permanently. And I want to know the ultimate goal of life, make my life happy, peaceful, blissful. As simple as that. But then the question arises, what is this suffering due to? What is the real problem of life? Now, in this world, problems are very relative. As they say, one man's food is another man's poison. I remember I was overseeing an orphanage for about 10 years. And one day, this is the season, around June, second week, we went to purchase some umbrellas from a shopkeeper at Chowpatty. And when we went, the man inside the shop, he said, "I wish it rained throughout the year." I said, "Why?" He said, "This is the season for us. In these four seasons, the business that I make, I don't make it for the rest of the year. I wish it rained." And as I came out, I saw these people on the street, who were living on the street. They were kind of cursing the rain. Every time they have to move, maybe move into some railway platform or something. That's the nature of this world. Something is a problem for someone, the same thing is a relief of all problems for someone else. So in this world, problems are relative. One man's food is another man's poison. But then, are there really problems that are common for all? What are the real problems of life? Sometimes people say corruption is a big problem. Yeah, one who gives is a problem. One who takes is a solution for some problems of his. I don't say I'm approving it. I don't say I'm for it. But I'm just saying, it's a very relative world. You meet with an accident and you start cursing, why it happened. The vehicle got a dent. And then you go to the mechanic and he's praying more and more, let more vehicle come like this. Just to give a few examples, practical life we find that this world is a very relative world. What are real problems? It is said, for a problem to be a real problem, it has to fulfill three criteria. Number one, it's common to all, whoever you are, black or white, pink or yellow or brown, male or female, rich or poor, fat or thin, any kind of social status. It's common to everyone. That is the first thing. Secondly, no one wants it. No one welcomes a problem. If you're welcoming something, that's not a problem actually. No one wants it. And thirdly, whether you want it or not, nobody can avoid it. See, any problem that fulfills all these criteria is supposed to be real problems of life. Common to all, no one wants it, and no one can avoid it. So these are the real problems of life. And what are they? Just for your information, not to scare you, but just to tell you facts. There are four, beginning with birth. Happy birthday. Why? Because there are three things that follow, which is common to all, whether you want it or not, you just can't avoid. And that is old age. I remember many years ago, as a counselor, even after joining this society, ISKCON society, I used to go to this hospital near VT, GT hospital, and I used to visit the AIDS patients, give them some kind of, you know, prasad and speak to them and make them feel light and probably share some experience and you know, bring them some joy at least. And I remember very distinctly, one time as I was talking to one particular patient, I saw somebody throwing something with disgust. And I looked around and it was very old man, about 78 or 80. And out of disgust, he threw something. And I just went and saw what it was and I picked it up. It was a nail cutter. And I handed it over to him and said, I thought you threw it, I mean, just fell down. And he looked at me and I could see frustration in his face. I said, can I do something for you? And he said, for last half an hour, I am trying to cut my toenail. And the damn thing, I'm not able to do it. And I said, can I do it for you? I said, what's wrong? I mean, you could do it yourself. Then he tried to explain. And then for the first time I realized, wow, this was like 25 years back. I was more younger. And I never thought this could be a problem, you know. Sometimes you're in the bathroom singing away some nice Bollywood song and trimming your nails. You don't even realize. And this man was trying to do it for the last half an hour. And I said, what's the problem? He said, I have arthritis, I can't move my feet and I have to extend myself to cut my toenail. And because of old age, you know, nails have become really thick. And when he extends his hand and tries to focus it, hand starts shivering. And he said, my eyes like, you know, camera out of focus, you know. So sometimes you see 2, 2, 3 and you know, you really don't know how to place it. Just a simple thing like cutting a toenail, trimming a toenail. For last half an hour he was trying and was disgusted. So sometimes we take some things for granted. It's amazing. We see it all around, but we do not experience it. Oh, that I may also go through this. Inevitable. Generally, whenever I invite people, why don't you come and attend this Journey of Self-Discovery course? When many young people, college students, when I approach them, you know what is their first question? How much you charge? And whenever I approach old people, which floor? Is there a lift? Their whole way of thinking is totally different. They ask, which floor? Is there a lift? Paradigm shift. So the way we look at the world changes. And this is a fact of life, old age. And then disease. Dis-ease, the word itself says you're not at ease. Right? And you name it and there are, oh, and today there are newer and newer ones coming up. That's always there. Hepatitis A, B, C, D and whatnot. So many others. Every day there seems to be a newer discovery of diseases. And antibiotics have gone out of, and they become totally seasoned to those and they have to discover some new medicine now to deal with it. And cancer, at one time, just the name of it caused somebody to be, you know, like, practically half dead, just to hear. Today it's like, you know, common cold. Really, cancer? Achha, which part of the body? Chemotherapy? It's become a part of a household word. Every third person, according to the statistic, world statistics, every third person is going to get this. Can you imagine? And then finally, of course, death. as sure as death, as they say. So, janma, mrityu, jara, vyadhi, dukkha, dosha, anudarshanam. Anudarshanam means, irrespective of whoever a person is, everyone has to see this. Four. These are called the real problems of life. No one wants to die. No one wants to get old. No one wants to get diseased. But it's absolutely unavoidable. Common to all. Though no one wants it. I wish there were only four. To add to it, there are three more. I'm sorry. You may say, did I pay so much money just to know how miserable I am? One person asked, Swamiji, did I pay up just to know how miserable I am? I thought I came here to become happy. I wanted some solutions. But sometimes, you know, just to make people realize the value of the solutions, you need to know, just like, you know, a good marketing person. First, he convinces you about what is the value of the product that he's selling. And he tells you, do you want a simple box that you can communicate? Kar lo duniya mutthi mein, you can call, talk to anyone in this world. Very good. Do you want this? Do you want this? Do you want this facility? Yes, yes, yes. Finally, he says, this is the cost. You know, in the train also, I see this. Dekho, ye ghista nahi hai, ye nahi hai. Company mein bahar jayenge to ye 60 rupya hota hai. First, he tells all the benefits. And then he says, and that especially, special discount rate, only for you. So to convince us of the value of the knowledge of solution that is being offered, at least one has to understand the gravity of the current situation of ours, the precarious condition that we are in. The amazing thing is sometimes things are painted so wonderful to distract us that sometimes we don't see the real facts of life. This is not pessimistic. Sometimes people say, come on, don't be so pessimistic talking about these things. It's just like, suppose you're going in a boat in the sea and you're looking at the sky and the beautiful cool breeze and the blue sea, and someone says, sir, there is a hole in the boat. Kya yaar, mood kharab karta hai tu. Aakash dekh, pani dekh, hawa mehsoos kar. Theek hai sir, but hole jo hai na. If that is pessimistic, then I wonder what optimism is. So, that's a fact. So there are three more things that is added, and these are facts of life. Just because it is, we can't take it for granted. We have to address it, we have to deal with it, and if possible try to overcome this. That's what truly human life is all about. It's not meant for the animals. They just live out their life. But a human being can inquire, I don't want certain things, why is it being imposed on me? I want some things. Why is it eluding me? So it says there are three kinds of miseries. It is called trividha tapa. Tapa traya. Tapa means miseries and traya means three. So the first is caused by one's own body and mind. Now this is another thing. Actually, the miseries of the body aren't as miserable as that which is caused by the mind. Maybe one session we could dedicate, after this whole Gita course, we could dedicate one full session. Today, the biggest problem in this century is not hepatitis, not AIDS, not all these other diseases. Mental disease. Mental disturbance is number one disease in this world. Psychiatrists and psychologists are the super professions who are fully, you will never be, you know, like vacant. So big, large percentage, everywhere, the mind is so disturbed, stressed and stretched, worry, fear, tension, anxiety. Many people today who commit suicide are not from the lower rungs of the society. They are people who are absolutely, you know, kind of well-to-do. But the mind makes their whole life so miserable. Sometimes emptiness, loneliness, whatever. So most of it is because of the disturbance in the mind. That's why I think Milton said in Paradise Lost, he said, the mind is a thing of itself. It can make hell of heaven and heaven of hell. Mind is a very powerful thing. It has tremendous influence. It can make your life or it can break your life. So understanding the nature of the mind. And misery is caused by one's own body and mind. You can have everything and be miserable. And you can have nothing and be blissful. That's the mind. That is the potency of the mind. And then, caused by other living entities. Now after my post-graduation, I was working as a counselor for speech and hearing impaired people, you know. So sometimes children of deaf children, I mean their parents would come and I would do the test and diagnose and then I have to tell them. Very painful thing to tell their parents that the child is having, you know, profound hearing impairment for the rest of their lives. No solution, they have to live with it, especially if they are girls. So during that period, 3.5 years of counseling, I found out one thing. The first part of counseling is rapport building. You can build a rapport and kind of get to know them and make them feel at home, comfortable. And I would ask one question. I would say, so, is everything all right? Are you happy? And say, yeah. Oh, this is okay, that's okay, that's okay. But there would always be a but. Yeah, I'm fine, but one living entity can make your life miserable. It can be one of your closest relatives. It can be one of your family members. It can be one of your neighbors, or the neighbor's dog, or your boss in the office, or the servant at home who does not turn up only when you want them to. One living entity can make your life miserable. And sometimes we feel, if this one person goes away from my life, I think life would be blissful. Heaven on earth. Believe me, this will never happen. I will tell you, on the fourth day we will discuss this. It will never happen. It's like Ravana's head. You chop one and another pops up. It will, invariably. And you wonder, this one person, as soon as that person goes away, two more can pop up. If you're fortunate, only two. Otherwise, there can be many. So this is called adhidaivika klesha. Adhibhautika. Another living entity. One of my friends recently, a few years back, shifted to Mira Road. And he was working nearby. So I said, wow, you must be happy now. You settled down, got a amazing working wife. He wanted a working wife because, you know, so that everything could be more comfortable and relaxed. Both of them, their work spot was so close that they don't have to get into the, you know, difficulty in transportation. And then school was nearby. They got a child, very healthy, beautiful, chubby child. No, rosy lips, teeth within. Everything was so nice. And the school is nearby. Market is nearby. They don't have to move out, everything is all right. I said, you must be really happy, na? He said, yeah. But. I was thinking there will not be but he says, sure enough there was. But. I said, what? The mosquitoes. Machhar bahut saat aate. He had some racket-like thing going on whole day, you know. playing cricket or playing tennis with the. So I just thinking, one living entity can make your life miserable. It can be not just only human beings, it can be other living entities. And there are 84 lakh species, don't worry. Can't to alternate, many alternates. So that is called adhibhautika klesha. Misery is caused by other living entities. And lastly, misery is caused by natural disturbances. We experienced it when it did not rain on 6th June. Too hot, problem. Too much rain, problem. No rain, problem. A tsunami, problem. Or some cyclone, problem. Something or another. Some snowfall somewhere, or something or the another. And we find this in spite of all of this technological advancement. No wonder in the last few years we have made tremendous technological advancement. Last century, this century. In every field of life, practically. Medical field, technological field, every field. But amazingly, if you look at, these are the real problems of life. Look at them and check. Have people stopped becoming old? Yes, you can avoid by a nice hairdo, thanks to technology. A 70-year-old woman can go inside a beauty parlor and come out looking like a 17-year-old. Yes, you can externally overcome, but you can't actually overcome the fact that biologically the body has to age. Disease? Is that? Yes. So many wonderful facilities have come up. But the amazing thing is, the number of hospitals and clinics are increasing, the number of doctors are increasing. And it's there. Death? Thanks to technology, one bomb and the whole, one country can be wiped away from the face of this planet. So whatever we say, however we may have made technological advancement, or talk about one's own body and mind. It's amazing. There was a survey done, depending on the index of, earned money, which is the happiest country? And guess, which was the happiest country? Which country was, according to the GDP and all that they calculated and found out, happiness index. And which country was the happiest according to their survey? This survey said Bangladesh was the happiest. Poorest, one of the poorest countries. And they were supposed to be the happiest people. So you can make out that, it's not just the facilities alone. Happiness is a state of mind. Other living entities, actually in the West, where materially speaking, more facilities, more advancement has, one can witness. But if you check about relationship problems, I'm talking about statistics. Recently, I don't have any available statistics, but the divorce rate or single parents, taking care of children and, changing. It's on and on for there. And it's over 60% within 3 years of marriage. India is very closely following suit. So the fact is, relationships, shallow relationships and strained relationships, these are facts of life. And especially, these are the most painful things. Because one who is closest to you can also has the potential to hurt you the most. Right? If someone is very close to you, they can really help you the most, or they can hurt you the most. And therefore, sometimes when separation occurs, some people are not able to overcome that. Externally, they may, but then it's tough. It's not easy. And these are realities. until and unless we go to the root of this problem and address them there, the symptoms won't disappear. This is where the relevance of this course is so important. You may find it right now little unconnected because I am focusing more on the, you know, some bitter facts of life. But I can assure you, because in the last 25 years I have seen literally thousands of householders who have actually understood it, sincerely applied it in their own life, are inspired so much to actually to share it with others. That all of these can actually be addressed from the root. That's why the relevance of this particular course. Now, again, the same problem. Is material, mere material advancement, the solution to the real problem of life? We may say, and it's a fact, that in the last few decades, technology has advanced more than ever before in history. In every field of life. Every field of life. But then, have the real problems of life reduced? Have they been overcome? This is something that one needs to think with a little cool head. Check the quality of life. Has it improved or has it worsened? Oh, there's another one? It's not the one that you changed. Really? Yeah. Okay. If you actually study very carefully, now please try to understand, I am not against modern advancement. I'm using the best technology possible. You know, earlier we used to have this slide projector and one fellow pressed it and it jumped out and it fell off. And it took me 45 minutes to set it right. Because you have to set it, you know, you have to look at a particular angle and put it down. And now, nobody even realizes I just have this small little structure, you know, apparatus, and just press the button and things, and then I have pointer is here and, you know, something can go forward and backward and then you can, one thing is altered to blanket and put it, bring it back. It's amazing, isn't it? I'm like a yogi, you know, with some siddhis. I just do this, like that, and things disappear and things appear. Really speaking, no wonder people have full faith that one day technology will give solution to all the problems of life. They're convinced. One day science will, though it is a blank check right now, post-dated check. But if you actually study, has it really addressed the problems of life? But the fact is, can you imagine? You can communicate with someone in Australia at the flick of a button. Isn't that really amazing? Isn't that really amazing? Yogis cannot do it after many years of austerities in the Himalayas. And that requires tremendous. You know, after 12 years or 24 years of austerity, you come and say, now I can walk on water. You take a motorboat and 50 paisa it costs. 24 years of austerity. That's really not impressive. So truly speaking, it is a fact that technology is really impressive. No doubt about it. And one can utilize it. We are not against. A knife is neither good nor bad. In the hands of a surgeon, it can make a life. In the hands of a hoodlum, it can take a life. So please try to understand, I'm not against technology. I am for technology. The best, most sophisticated, updated model. But unless it is grounded on purification of the heart through transcendental knowledge, one will not know how to utilize the beautiful gifts of nature for one's own happiness and the happiness of others. Because if you are not in harmony with your own selves, if you are not in harmony with the world around, and therefore that is the place where this knowledge comes in handy. We can utilize it for the upliftment of the quality of standard of human life. That's the purpose. So, in fact, the advancement may give a temporary relief, but they are not giving permanent solution. The real solution to the real problems of life, I'm referring to the real problems of life, they are increasing more than ever before. And the solutions in themselves give rise to many other problems. The ozone layer is going away, you know, the temperature is rising, the weather is completely going astray, creating so much of disturbance, so much of fertilizers being, you know, chemical fertilizers have completely spoiled the fertility of the soil. So many farmers are committing suicide. Water problem is going to be the third world war, according to foreseers, intelligent foreseers, is going to be not on oil, it'll be for water. Scarcity of water because of deforestation, heavy industrialization. We are not aware of it. So they are giving, big time progress, but they're also giving rise to big problems. If we do not see this and utilize this with a clear understanding based on solid foundation of knowledge. I would like to share with you in a very crisp way. Somebody shared this with me some time ago, and I always, crisp way, it shares today's paradox. Now, what is the paradox? You are striving to achieve something, you are endeavoring to achieve something, but you are working against your own goal. That's called paradox. It gives a totally opposite result. So, why is man endeavoring to improve technology? Basically to make life more happier, comfortable, and make miseries go away, right? But the paradox of life is, in spite of the fact that we are progressing, somewhere along the line we have missed the bus. So this beautiful poem brings it out in a very graphic way. I would like to just share with you. It says, what is this life if full of care? We have no time to stand and stare. This particular 21st century disease is no time for anything. Practically, we have no time to stand and stare. No time to stand beneath the boughs and stare as long as sheep and cows. Sometimes I see, you know, in the main road, the sheep and cows are standing blissfully unaware of the surroundings while we are running. You know, we have to catch the 626 Churchgate local. Struggle is there, and the cows may be wondering, who are these guys? Why are they such intelligent people? What's happened to them? Why are they not relaxed like me? The paradox of our time in history is that we have taller buildings but shorter tempers. Few years back in Sion, I heard, you know, newspaper, there was an article which said there was a couple which didn't have children for a long time. They didn't have any issues, and therefore they went to Australia and got a test tube baby. And the child was about 2 years old, and one day, they were living on the 7th floor of a building, in a high-rise building. And husband and wife were fighting, and suddenly the husband became so angry, he said, "Just you shut up, okay? Just you shut up. Otherwise, so what will you do otherwise?" He took the feet of the child and put it against the window outside and said, "I'm going to drop this child. Just you keep quiet." And she, anger is a momentary madness. Anger is one letter short of danger. D-A-N-G-E-R. When you're angry, the anger clinics in America now. How to deal with anger? So this man just held the child out of the window. Said, "Just shut up or I'm going to drop this child." Oh, she's so angry. She said, "What do you think? Is it only my child, not your child?" And she went on and on and on. And now it is a question of prestige. He just dropped the child from the 7th floor of a building. And she was shocked. She ran down and she saw 2 dead bodies. Because after doing that, he realized this madness. Out of frustration, he also had jumped. And then the newspaper said, across the road, there was another high-rise building where an old man, 75-year-old, was watching. He got a heart attack. He died seeing this madness. So 3 deaths. So no wonder he said, mad world. It's really a mad, mad world. So, yes, we have taller buildings, but shorter tempers. Wider freeways, but narrower viewpoints. We spend more, but have less. We buy more, but enjoy it less. Once I went to, our temple is very close to Chowpatty, Girgaon Chowpatty. So I went to one house, huge palatial building, overlooking the sea, sea view, ocean view. There are the beautiful buildings like that. But both the members of the house are working. Most of the time they are out. Out early in the morning, come late at night and just sleep. Who enjoys the ocean view? The maid servant. She sits on the balcony, enjoys the TV the whole day. And I wonder, buy more but enjoy it less. Practically no time. We have bigger houses and smaller families. More conveniences, but less time. Oh, it's amazing. There was this mixie and then now everything is ready-made. Ready-made powder, ready-made sambar powder, ready-made cut vegetables available in the market. Everything. But then, less time. Still people have no time. We have more degrees, but less sense. Common sense, uncommonly found. More knowledge, but less judgment. Even the smallest things in life, we find it so difficult to handle. More experts, but less solutions. More medicines, but less wellness. We have multiplied our possessions, but reduced our values. We talk too much, love too seldom, and hate too often. We have learned how to make a living, but not a life. We have added years to life, but not life to years. Quality of life has suffered. We have been all the way to the moon and back, but have trouble crossing the street to meet the new neighbor. In Andheri, one of my acquaintances told me there was one man next door who lived with his daughter. Old man, about late 60s. He lived with his single daughter. She was a working lady. And she had gone out for a month, so he was alone. And the neighbors noticed that in front of his door, There were three newspapers, three milk packets, and three garlands. You know, flower wala comes and puts. So when they noted that three of them are there, that means they got a doubt that why they have not informed. That means something is there. She is gone, but he's there. Is he there or not? So they rang up. The police came and burst open the door and found out he was dead for 3 days. And nobody knew practically. The next door, just facing. Their door is facing just this person. In a village, even today, recently I was in near Varanasi. I went to a village. Within 5 minutes, the whole village comes to know who is who. Who has come to whose house. And what is the relationship? How many children he is? Whether he is a brahmachari since how many times? Everything. You don't need any newspapers. Wildfire. Amazing. Immediately people start like, can't say, spreads. But in Mumbai, you may be living with your neighbor for years and they don't know who they are. Practically, absolutely no idea. For years, and because hardly they have seen. Most of them move out and come back late at night. We have conquered outer space, but not inner space. We have cleaned up the air, but polluted the soul. We have split the atom, but not our prejudices. We have higher incomes, but lower morals. We have become long on quantity, but short on quality. These are times of tall men and short character. Every other day in the newspaper you read, this scam and that scam and 2G and 3G. It just goes on. It really reduces the morale of the general people at large. Just to look at one person on integrity, it gives so much of confidence and hope and faith. Similarly, one person like that, you really get, it is so frustrating many a times. Steep profits and shallow relationships. No wonder, actually, if you see the amount of money nowadays, earning of money is there, but relationships are so shallow. These are times of world peace, but domestic warfare. More leisure, but less fun. More kinds of food, but less nutrition. These are days of two incomes, but more divorce, of fancier houses, but broken homes. It's a time when there is much in the show window and nothing in the stockroom. Very interesting. In the scriptures, this age is called Kali Yuga. You know that? It's called Kali Yuga. Now, what does this Kali mean? Quarrel and hypocrisy. Kali means kalaha. Kalaha means jhagda or dambhikta. Quarrel and hypocrisy. And hypocrisy means basically very good packaging but no product. Substance is lacking but packaging is very good. And that's what Kali Yuga is all about. Even a Brahmana, if he has a thread, dekho Maharaj, mai bhi Brahman hum. A taxi driver sometimes tells me, shows me, hum bhi Brahman. So, very good package, we are impressed. We really don't care about the quality of the substance, the product. That's what Kali is about. Emphasis is more on the externals than the substance. Life, it makes you think. A short, crisp, but perfect, comprehensive analysis of mere technological advancement without advancement of the values of human life founded on this knowledge, transcendental knowledge, of the truths of life, real truths of life. And therefore, we have one, but it should be grounded on the other. And that's what we are here to discuss. Now, somebody may ask, all right, where have we gone wrong? What exactly is the solution? The solution is the mirage of happiness, that is the propaganda of the advertising industry, is exposed by a real analysis of this knowledge. It's very interesting. You know, in the desert, when an animal strays into the desert sometimes, some deers, it stray into the desert. And it's struggling, and it's in a hot sun, hot sand at the bottom. Its whole existence is drying up. And suddenly in the distance, it looks at the beautiful water, the life-giving source of source of life. So with all the little energy that it has, it gathers up and runs to get the water, drink the water. And when it dives, more hot sand comes into its mouth. And then it realizes, my God, all my endeavor to reach to the water is actually waste. Recently I was in Bahrain. I was there for 3-4 days. And I saw this. Till now I had heard about this. We went into the desert. And there, you really feel the water is there. It is so realistic. You're driving and you see it. And as we went there, it was still a little away. And it was still a little away. It's like a carrot that is dangled in front of an ass. One more step and I'll get it. One more step and I'll get it. They say, not dangling the carrot. So it was like that. So it is promising us, buy this and you'll be happy. Do this and you'll be happy. Touch this and you'll be happy. But you do it and you find, well, I did that, but where's that what I was looking for? Somewhere along we have missed it. It has just slipped away from our fingers. So what is that? So then it says, truly, happiness in and of itself is not merely the gratification of the senses. If gratification of the external senses alone would lead to happiness, then everyone in this world would be very happy if they had access through money to certain facilities. But we find that the richest countries are most of the times, even though externally very opulent, in substance, there isn't any, you know, life at all in that sense. And that kind of, I know many families who settled abroad, but as soon as their children started growing up, they decided to come back. They said, no, we can't wait for this. That'll be really tough. So they decided to come back. Though facilities are wonderful, opportunities are wonderful, but somewhere they found there isn't any much substance. So we see that reality also. So in the scriptures, there is a beautiful verse, a very short, instructive Sanskrit verse, which I would like to share with you, which talks about how mere gratification of any of the senses in and of itself cannot give the happiness of the real self, which is much more deeper and much more sustainable and long-lasting happiness. It says, Patanga matanga kuranga bhringa meena hata panchabhireva pancha eka pramathi sa katham na hanyate yah sevate panchabhirebhya pancha. Seems very complicated, but what it means is this gives example from nature. You know how you study nature? From nature, it gives example of five different kinds of animals, five species. And how, in all of these five species, they try for happiness. They try for happiness through gratifying one of the senses. There are five senses. Shabda, sparsha, rupa, rasa, gandha. Shabda is hearing. That means the ears. Shabda, sparsha, sense of touch, skin. Rupa, beautiful form through the eyes. Rasa, beautiful sense of taste, sense of you know, the tongue, and gandha, fragrance through, that is appreciated through the nostrils. So there are five senses, and there are five examples given from nature to show how each one of these living entities wants to satisfy one of the senses, but in the process leads itself to its doom. First is patanga. Patanga means the worm, fire moth, patanga, you know. So generally, if you see during rain, right now, this season, all of a sudden so many, you know, insects and moths, they start flying. Put a candle and see hundreds of them revolving around it. Now, the amazing thing about this fire moths are, their eyes are extremely attracted to the dancing flames of the fire. And they start moving, flying towards it. And as they approach the fire, they can actually see, they can experience the heat of the fire. But their eyes are so much titillated by this sense of happiness of these flames that they just can't resist themselves. And they actually are sizzled by the fire. I saw once these huge sodium vapor lamps, and these worms would come and touch it, and some just vapor would come out. But then the others would keep following behind them. So patanga, the eyes. Then matanga, for the sense of touch. The example is given of the elephant. Now it's very difficult for human beings to catch an elephant, because the elephant can easily crush them to death. But the intelligent humans are quite intelligent, so they use it. You know how they catch elephants? There are many ways to do it. The Kheda operation is one. But one simple way to do it is they dig a huge ditch 20 by 20. 20 feet depth by 20 feet width, and then cover it with bamboos and grass. And they trained a she elephant to brush past a he elephant. And oh, he goes crazy and starts following her. And she's trained to come near the pit and go beside. And he madly rushes and falls into the pit. And then he's starved till he becomes obedient to this little man, 5 feet short. And he says, and the elephant gets up. The elephant has the power to bring him and crush him. But somehow the elephant is so scared, it's become slave to that man on top. So matanga, its weakness is the sense of touch. It's captured by the sense of touch and enslaved for the rest of his life. Kuranga means a deer. A deer is attracted to the flute, beautiful tune of the flute, and it stands still. It runs expertly. It's very difficult for a hunter to catch the deer. But he starts playing on the flute, so it stands still like a painting on the wall and becomes a very easy target for the hunter to shoot it down. And Bhrunga, the bumblebee. The amazing thing about the bumblebee, it has the power to drill a hole through a wooden block, a piece of wood, within no time. But when it is attracted by a lotus which glows in the morning, he goes into the stem of the lotus and starts the intoxicating fragrance of that lotus, intoxicates him so much that he completely, you know, lies on top of that lotus. And when the sun sets, the lotus closes. Now the petal of the lotus is so soft, you can easily pierce a pin through hundreds of them together. But the bumblebee is so intoxicated that he just can't get out of that lotus. And next day morning when it opens, it drops dead, suffocated, just because the fragrance has attracted it. And Bhrunga, meena, the fish is so agile and dexterous, it's very difficult to catch a fish, very slippery. But the fisherman is very intelligent. He puts a hook and puts a worm. Sale. Discount, 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 free. And the fish thinks, wow, I have to struggle so much, this is hanging free. And he actually eats it and swallows along with the worm, the hook. And the fisherman allows it to swallow. And when it goes deep inside, just plucks it out. So it says, this particular shloka says, Patanga, a fire moth, Matanga, the elephant, Kuranga, the deer, Bhrunga, the bumblebee, Meenaha, the fish, Hataha, they die, Panchabhireva Pancha, because one of the five senses went astray in wanting to find happiness through one of the enjoying the senses, and that led to its doom. Ekaha pramathi matha. Matha means get agitated. One of the senses got agitated and that led to its doom. Sa katham na hanyate. So what to speak of the human being, yah sevate pancha virebhya pancha, who all the five senses are fully alive. And thanks to our advertising industry, they really make, you know, these backlit boards. I went to one of these ice cream shops. They look more delicious than the real stuff. Amazing background, the kind of lighting that they give. Really. Wow, the kids say, wow, yummy. No doubt, they really make it more tastier than the real stuff, more attractive than the real stuff. So, it's not that sense gratification is not good. No, it does satisfy. But if someone thinks, in and of itself, just this can actually fetch me happiness, then he's in for a shock, because it lasts as long as the senses are being agitated or titillated. Immediately after that, the hankering increases and the facility is not provided. Then he becomes frustrated. But if for real search of happiness is searched much more deeper within one's own self, then one can find a long-lasting, eternal happiness which cannot be disturbed by the dualities of this world. They are like two sides of a coin. The nature of the... You can't have happiness without distress. You can't have heat without cold. You can't have honor without dishonor. They are the two... Heat and cold, honor and dishonor, happiness and distress. These are two sides of a coin. But the happiness that is sought within the core of our existence, that is not dependent on external things. And therefore, in no situation of life can your happiness be really disturbed. And this is what all the genuine scriptures of the world are aiming the intelligence to focus on. That is the real purpose of intelligence. That's the purpose of our life. So what is the life's ultimate goal? To inquire, right? Intelligence means to inquire. Athato brahma jigyasa. The Vedanta Sutra, the first aphorism, the first formula is, now that you've got a human life, please inquire. Inquire about what? How to eat, sleep, mate and defend better? No, that the animals also can do. What should we inquire? Basically two inquiries. First, can I find a permanent solution to the real problems of life? Birth, old age, disease, death. Is it possible that I can overcome them? Is it possible that I can evade them totally? Is there a chance? Is there a permanent relief from all miseries once and for all? You go above them, absolutely unaffected by them, irrespective of the state of body and mind, irrespective of the surroundings, the people, irrespective of all the natural disturbances. Is it possible that my happiness remains undisturbed and ever increasing? Is that possible really? Is there a chance like that? And thirdly, is there at all a possibility of an eternal life of bliss, peace and happiness? Seems like a fairy tale, and they lived happily ever after. You know, they show a house of chocolate, Snow White and the little dwarves and all this, and they lived happily ever after. This happens only in fairy tales, right? Whoever lived happily ever after. What kind of, is this, some kind of false promise? Or is there a possibility? That is the real utilization of intelligence that is awarded by nature only exclusively as a prerogative to the human form of life. And really, anyone who does not inquire that is considered a kripana, a miser, a kanjus. So we shouldn't become miserly. We should utilize whatever gifts that nature has provided in this particular form of life in this species. And therefore, really inquire about the root cause of all causes. We discuss that this world, there are inbuilt miseries, right? Birth, old age, disease and death. So then the question is, kisne banaya ye duniya? Usko pakdo jaake. Manufacturing defect. Is the behind this creation, is there a creator? If there is, catch hold of that person and say, duniya banane wale, kya tere man mein samayi, kahe ka duniya banayi tune? So, all Bollywood songs also have some deep meaning. If you think about them. If there is a banane wala, ask him, kaisa aadmi hai yaar tu? Banaya tu thik thak banata na? Blissful, happily ever after. Why did you make all this nonsense? Is he crazy? If at all somebody is behind this whole show. That is why one should actually inquire. That is the relevance of understanding. Is there a purpose behind this creation? Is there someone behind this creation? Is there some plan? And if it is, let's work in harmony. Let us not hit against our head against the wall. And if it is nothing, then it's all right. Then eat, drink and be merry. That's the relevance of this topic, the next topic that we discuss after search for happiness. Does really, behind this creation, is there a creator? Or is it just by chance there was a big blast, big bang theory? Right, people say, it's very scientific. It's a scientific theory. People have got Nobel laureates who got Nobel Prizes for expressing this theory. Is it really scientific? In Diwali we find small bangs. What creation comes out? Right? More dust. In a few years ago, there were 12 bangs all over Mumbai. what came out. In the Second World War, Hiroshima and Nagasaki, real big bangs, relatively. What came out, even today, there were so many mitosis, you know, all this, cellular, mutations that is experienced even today in certain children, certain species, on certain next two, few, three, four generations. So here is the biggest bang. Every time there is a bang, some inquiry commission is set up. Here is the biggest bang. Catch hold of the person who was the cause of it. And catch him and say, Kahe ka banai dune dune. Why did you make it like this? Why didn't you make a world where people would be happily ever after? Why did you make manufacturing defect of old age, disease and death? All these miseries. So that's the relevance. That will be the discussion for tomorrow. So, and the source of everything. Behind everything there is a source. If I am here, behind me there are my parents. Behind that there are their parents. There are their parents. Go back. Is there someone who is the cause of all causes who has no other cause? You like the hen and the egg. Which came first? Pehle murgi ya pehle anda? So it goes on and on and on. Is there someone, something, which is the cause of all causes, which has no other cause? Then we can actually try to understand, is there a purpose behind this? So to quickly summarize, can we have this light off, please? I'll just quickly summarize. Actually, the program will take a vote, since we are a democratic country and we are still fresh after voting. We'll take also a vote about the timings of this program, because I came to know through the registration counter that there are people from even outside Mira Road, from so many other places who have been coming. So we will fix up a time. So I'll just quickly run through what we discussed in our presentation so far. So here we see a beautiful little chimp. See some resemblance? A human being and an animal. Here you see a beautiful family, and here also you see a wonderful family. So what's the difference? And what's the commonality? The commonality is they eat and we eat. But of course, they use their, you know, straight off. But we may cook it nicely and, you know, fry it. We eat in a more sophisticated way. I challenge any yogi in the Himalayas to sleep like this. Amazing how the animals can sleep anywhere. Thanks to technology, we sleep. Of course, in Mumbai, you can't even sleep because you have the alarm going on. Because you have to catch the, you know, church gate fast. So hardly, you're in always anxiety. Mating, we also do that. Defending, the animals may do it with their claw and their teeth. And thanks to intelligent human beings, we do it with very sophisticated weaponry. Now we may have a press of a button, a whole, you know, country can go off. Thanks to all kinds of bombs that we have created. So, potentially, these four things, eating, sleeping, mating and defending, ahara nidra bhayamaithunam cha, is common. So what's the difference? We are doing it under the table, or they are doing it under, we are doing it over. If that's the only difference, then how different are we? We are only one amongst them. A sophisticated, polished, well-dressed, two-legged animal and nothing more, according to the scriptures. If we do not utilize the God-given intelligence, offered by nature as a very special gift in the human form of life, to actually inquire, who am I? Where have I come from? I want peace of mind, happiness, bliss. Why is it eluding me? I do not want sufferings in my life. Why is it being imposed upon me? This is the beginning of human life. And understand the real problems of life. Of course, birth is not a problem, but that is the source of all other problems. Of course, even that in one sense, imagine any yogi sitting like this for 9 months. 9 minutes we can't use this posture. Old age, no one wants it, no one can avoid it, but it's common to all. Disease, and eventually, it doesn't matter what belief you believe in, which culture you belong to, which religion you belong to, it's common to everyone. And therefore, these are the real problems of life. And then, we see the paradox of life. In spite of the fact that there are tremendous progress, simultaneously you find the dualities. Yes, no doubt, we have gone to the Mars, we have gone to the Moon. There was also an article talking about honeymoon on the Moon. But then the fact of life is, how have we successfully addressed the real problems of life? So externally, yes, no doubt, the progress is made, and Kali, that's what it is, Kali Yuga. But substance, in terms of quality, we have fallen short. It's a day of machines. The machine practically does everything. You don't need to do anything. But unfortunately, man is turning to become like a machine. Our lifestyle has become so mechanical, lacking quality. You know, the subtle happinesses of life, smallest things of affection, love, quality time for our loved ones, we are not able to give. Somewhere along, we have actually missed out on the real things in life. There was a cartoon in one particular magazine. It speaks all. Anything, you name it and they have it at the fingertip. But look at this person's face. That's what our situation is. And the Bhagavad Gita and all the various scriptures of the world talk about how truly sarvam jnana plavenaiva vrijinam santarishyasi. The Gita says, this material world is compared to a sagara, ocean. Bhava sagara. Bhava means repetition. Birth, death, old age, punarapi jananam, punarapi maranam, punarapi janani jathare shayanam. So these are waves of birth, old age, disease, death, miseries caused by body and mind, other living entities, natural disturbances. That these are the waves of this ocean, of this material existence. And in that, eventually everyone is forcibly drowning. However, the Gita says, this transcendental knowledge, Arjun, that I am offering you here, sarvam jnana plava. Plava means the boat. So the transcendental knowledge that is given in the scripture is compared to a boat that can help the drowning person, if they get onto it, to cross over the ocean of material existence and go over to the other side. Crossover. And that is the relevance of the particular knowledge that we are discussing. As I expressed last time, can we have the lights on? Yeah. Last time when I made this presentation, every time I make this presentation, the first day, people are a little disturbed. And one man, when we had a question answer session, one man straight away asked me, Swamiji, did we pay to realize how miserable we are? I said, If you are feeling like that, I think the purpose of the first day is successful. Because the purpose of this presentation is to pull the rug from under our feet. We are in our comfort zone. Generally, the tendency of the mind is to not see the reality like an ostrich. Don't talk about it. Yes, there is no use in talking about it if we have no solution for it. Why talk about it at all? But if there is a solution, if there is a way out, why not look at it? Why not think about it? Why not try it? And therefore, the purpose of this presentation, I said this is successful. If you are shaken a little bit, I'm sorry if it was a little, you know, sometimes people say it was too pessimistic. Aaj yaar aapne pura hila diya, mood kharab kar diya. As I said, if a person is in the board and enjoying, wonderful, let him enjoy. But please plug the hole. Because otherwise the enjoyment won't last long. So that is being optimistic, being realistic, and not just kind of staying in the imaginary world. Goody goody, yeah, yeah, everything is good. Let's not talk about it. So it's not pessimism, but it is real optimism. If we have a solution. And as I expressed, we are not against technology. We are not against science. We want to utilize the best of science because you can access more people. You can change, transform the lives of millions through technology. Today, really, technology. One press of a button and, you know, in the YouTube, you can send this. In fact, one of our devotees, he insisted that this be recorded. I was not for it. Because I feel a personal interaction is much more, you know, beneficial because one can actually inquire and ask about questions. And but then, what to do? If it can access so many others, they were telling, no, we're going to record this time. I said, all right. So we are not against, as I said, a knife in and of itself is neither good nor bad. It depends on whose hands it is in. So technology is wonderful. Technological advancement, material advancement is wonderful in the hands of those hearts that has been purified by the imbibing and the application of this transcendental knowledge. So thank you very much. I just would like to ask a question. I don't know what was the timing that was announced here. Generally, we speak between 7:30 to 9:30. It's 2 hours. Is 7:30 to 9:30 okay with everyone? Yes. The other option is 7 to 9. We will take a vote, no doubt. But even if one person is not able to come, it has to be 100%. Because we don't want to deprive anyone of this opportunity here. So some of you may have to adjust. I'm sure those who are living far away would like to prefer it 7 to 9. Because maybe some of the ladies may want to prefer early. But the people who are working may find it difficult to come at 7. I think 7:30 to 9:30 seems to be agreeable with most. We will try to stick to that, because if we take a vote, we will hurt you so much if you don't accept. But I see the general consensus, 7:30 to 9:30. So we'll. But I can assure you, today, because of registration, it took some time. We will start sharp at 7:30 and try as far as possible to finish 9:30 sharp. So that, at least for our sake, you are not delayed. And we have wonderful, you know, nice dinner waiting for you. We don't want to make it very hurried process. You please enjoy. And there will be any interaction, I'm sure. If we still have 10 minutes. Are there any questions or comments or any clarification I can tell you one thing. Generally, this course is designed in such a way that most of the questions that you raise now, today, will be answered tomorrow. So if you have a little patience to wait for 5 days, Sunday, most of your questions will be answered. However, if you feel, abhi bahut sare baki hain, then we will be available for you. But still, you're welcome if you have any questions, because somehow I don't like somebody coming and just talking and going away. We don't like one-way traffic. We want interaction. We would really want to make it address your needs, interests, and concerns. That is the purpose of this course. It's not just to impress you with some knowledge, hi-fi knowledge. Must be really practical, applicable, and relevant to your situation in life. So if there are any questions, we will take up. We can take a couple of them. Yeah. Can we? We'll pass a mic. You can. Hindi mein? Actually, Hindi mein bhi hum karte hain. Haan, 20th August? Okay. 20 se 24 August ko Hindi mein kar rahe hain hum log. तो अगर आपको लगता है कि आप किसी को लाना चाहते हैं जो हिंदी में सुनना चाहेंगे, जरूर ले आइएगा आप. हिंदी में करते हैं हम लोग. एनीवन एल्स, एनी कमेंट्स ऑन व्हाट वी स्पोक? या Yeah. There are innumerable ones. Innumerable ones. But then, practically, all of these can be put under these. Say if you talk about, let's take one. You talked about shortage of food. Right? Really speaking, there is never in this creation, the way the world is created, there is never a shortage of food. It is really created by the human beings. There is one beautiful author from Britain, he made a very good statement. He said, there is enough in the world for everyone's need, but not enough for one man's greed. So really, what is problem? And you know something? 99.9% of the problem are created by human beings. The other species have no problems. If they were to occupy the planet for the rest of eternity, there'll be no problems. But because we are intelligent, and if it gets perverted, that causes scarcity. So the real problem is not in the creation, it is here. It's here. So most of what you're talking is a resultant of lack of this knowledge, which pollutes the heart with lust, anger, greed, envy, pride, illusion. And that leads to consequential. It's like a chain reaction. That leads to this, that leads to this. So therefore, this problem, what we are telling, is the fundamental issues of eternal existence. And through this knowledge that we are going to discuss in the next 5 days, anyone who has access to this, the Ishopanishad says, Ishavasyam idam sarvam yatkincha jagatyam jagat tena tyaktena bhunjita magrada kasya sviddhanam. If everyone to be satisfied with what they needs, this world would be heaven in a day. So much of it is because of lack of this knowledge. And that will be taken. And this is real knowledge. Knowledge, I read another definition. The most crisp and the most comprehensive definition ever of knowledge He describes knowledge, this person describes knowledge as five words. Today's knowledge, today's so-called education. Information, information, information. No transformation. Knowledge is meant to transform. Today's knowledge is only informative. Vidya dadati vinayam. A tree that is laden with fruits bends down. A man with intelligence utilized for understanding the truth of the world, nature of this world, the nature of self and nature of the creator, bends down, becomes humble. You know, bada hua to kya hua, jaise ped khajur, auron ko chhaya na de, phal lage ati dur. So, Kabir, I think, says this. Says, so becoming big only in terms of dry knowledge, academic knowledge. Just like this science, we have so much knowledge, isn't it? What is this modern science? Amazing amount of knowledge of the world, which we are exploiting for our purposes, but we are still not addressing the real problems of life. So the purpose is actually to deal with that. Is that clear? Are you satisfied? Okay. Thank you. One last, because three is a very auspicious number. Yeah. Yeah. Let's take one at a time. You're right when you say that many a times knowledge springs out from within. Archimedes suddenly said, Eureka, you know, wow, the thing came out, oh, buoyancy, the principle of buoyancy. Kekule, one of the scientists, you know, chemists, he was desperately wanting to know what is the formula for benzene. And he slept and he saw a snake biting its own tail. Wow, this is it, a hexagonal ring structure. So when a person is desperate, the inspiration from within can come, which is called the sixth sense, you know, that kind of knowledge. Some people have that. It springs up when you are eager. But this can happen in a good or in a bad way also. A bank robber who really is intensely wanting to rob can look at a rat and get the idea, oh, I can actually dig a hole and go inside. So the inspiration, this particular knowledge of seeker, can be positive, can also be negative. Therefore, there are three checklists. And also sometimes there is many voices. The voice of the real self, eternal, full of knowledge and bliss, Satchid Ananda. And there is also the voice of lust and anger and greed and envy and pride and illusion. So there are so many voices coming. Sometimes we may be confused which voice to listen to. Sometimes we hear so many voices. One may be a genuine voice which is giving the answer, and the other may be bewildering us. Therefore, we need a confirmation. You have to confirm with some other source to, yes, tick off, this is the right thing. That is where we need three things: Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra. Shastra are the scriptures. The Sadhus are great soul, saintly personalities of the past who have extracted the essence of those scriptures. And the current connection of that is a person who is actually sharing that knowledge with us. It's like a funneling down, you know. So you're right when you say that many times this knowledge comes to us. What is this sense of conscience? Something, your gut feeling tells you, nahi yaar, ye theek nahi hai. Sometimes we may stub it with some justification of some other philosophy of, you know, eat, drink and be merry. But to the extent one cultivates this conscience, what is this conscience? It is the, you know, knowledge that is coming from within, which tells you this will spoil the harmony of your heart, the peace of your mind. Don't do it. So that's actually, the conscience is nothing but it is the knowledge coming from within. So it's true. It's true. But only thing is, we need to purify it to discriminate it from so many other voices that may be coming, which are like enemies. The Gita says there are enemies also sitting, and their voices are also coming. So sometimes we may get confused which voice to listen to. Is that all right?
Yes.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah.
As we are the form of Satchitananda, Satchitananda. So when we do not listen to our concerns, we do the wrong thing, and then we get the sorrow. Now, since in the start you said that in this journey, some of us may be at the starting point, some of the middle point, some of you may be ahead. But what happens to the person like me, which, you know, after doing the things, again do the mistakes, he recognizes, no, I should not do this. And he again tries his post. Then after some time, he again commits the mistake, again falls down. And again realizes, no, because I'm not happy, what should I do? So I would like to request you to, you know, give some inputs on this, what happens to the person if they do like this kind of thing.
Yeah, actually you're sounding like Arjun because he asked a very similar question. Okay, first let me tell you, there are four levels of intelligence: first class intelligent, second class, third class and fourth class. First class intelligence hears and understands. The father tells the child, beta, don't steal, otherwise the police will beat you up and it will not be pleasant. Okay, papa, from tomorrow I'm not going to steal. This is first class intelligence. He hears and he understands. Second class, who sees others. One time I went to the police station, not as an inmate or just to get inside, but for, you know, reporting something. And I saw one person caught up, and the way he beat up, if I was around, I would have told whatever was necessary. My God, the way they beat up, too much. So when you see someone suffering, my God, this is old age, this is disease, this is death. So sometimes, by hearing, okay, but by seeing physically, actually, you know, in front of you, sometimes you understand. The third level of intelligence, you see but you think, mujhe nahi hone wala hai. Then you have to experience. to understand. Generally, unfortunately, most of us belong to the third category. A little more intelligent belong to the second category. It takes really high class intelligence to just hear and understand like that. Fourth class intelligence is you hear, you see, you experience, and still you feel, इस टाइम थोड़ा गड़बड़ी हो गया, अगले टाइम मैं स्ट्रैटेजी बदलूंगा, सब कुछ नहीं होगा, सब ठीक हो जाएगा. सो यू हैव टू लर्न द हार्ड वे. सो आइडियली वेरी रेयर दैट पीपल आर फर्स्ट क्लास इंटेलिजेंस. प्रहलाद वॉज फर्स्ट क्लास इंटेलिजेंस. वेन ही हर्ड दिस वेन ही वॉज इन द वूम्ब ऑफ हिज मदर एंड वेन ही केम आउट ही सेड आई नो दिस इज व्हाट इज टू बी डन. Some experienced people, they experience once, see something and immediately understand. So we have to progress at least from fourth class to third class to at least second class. And hopefully one day if we become first class, nothing like it. So wish you all the best.